All right. Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Mr. Allen is producing and engineering our show. Always has a big smile on his face. That's important when I'm on the other side of the glass. You don't want somebody big old frown. Ray is ready to do business, and so are we here on the Buckmaster Show on this Veterans Day as we pay tribute to veterans today on November 11th, 2015. And I want to thank all of the folks who had the courage and believed enough in this country to raise that right hand and swear their allegiance to the United States of America and the Constitution, and became a part of the United States military. And we salute you, my friends, today on this Veterans Day. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream our show at buckmastershow.com and KVOI. We do the podcast thing, and we have all of our archive. We've got an anniversary coming up here. We started this whole thing 5 years ago, the first week of January, and pretty much my assistant Rosemary Brandt has catalog just about every show we have done on the Buckmaster Show website in the archive. We're going to begin with a newsmaker interview, a lot to talk about with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. At 12:30, we'll talk to Tucson-based writer Robert Nortmeyer. Mr. Nortmeyer has written a very interesting book about the first woman to complete medical school in this country. You know, we take for granted now the fine contribution that our women play in the medical field. I think half of all medical school admissions now are women. But hey, back in the 1840s, no, there were no women until this particular woman that we're going to hear about, Elizabeth Blackwell, broke through that ceiling and became the first woman. What a fascinating career. It's a great story. We'll close out the hour with a candidate interview. We're looking ahead to 2016 already. This is a gentleman who wants to be the Pima County Superintendent of Schools. His name is Dustin Williams, and we'll hear about what he has in mind. Our Facebook page is under my name, Bill Buckmaster. It's easy to find. We're still welcoming new friends to the page. Try to keep you updated there every day on what we have on the show and a few personal items. I try to keep it mainly business there on the Facebook page. The live line number for you, 790-2040, and I'm trying to do the Twitter thing. It's at buckmastershow.com if you want to follow us on Twitter. The tickets. Yes, during the hour, we will be offering, and this is a great opportunity to see the Wildcats play a top 10 team, University of Utah, Saturday at Arizona Stadium, the last home game of the season. We'll announce during the hour who the lucky winner will be. We've got four tickets to giveaways. That's a big deal. Okay, now let's welcome Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias, Democrat representing District Number 5. Richard, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Thank you very much. And like you, want to honor and thank all the veterans in all our branches of the military, and especially those who are currently serving. But it's great that we honor veterans today and on a day when we signed a peace agreement to end World War I.
Yes.
So I think that's fairly dramatic. It's something we should all think of and carry in our hearts today. I know I have one very special vet that I'm remembering today, and that was my father, who served in the Korean War. And he was very proud of his service, and I mourn his passing. But that was a big part of his life and a big part of his experiences. And so thanks, Dad, and thanks to all the veterans, men and women. But also congratulations to you, Bill. You know, Tucson Weekly, best talk radio show host in Tucson. I think it's well-deserved. You got a great, even-handed show. 5 years on the air. Really great, Bill. Growing your show. Just very proud to be able to be a small part of the Buckmaster Show and your success.
Thank you very much, Richard. And really, on behalf of so many people, and I know all of us here at the station, we really do mourn the passing of your father. Really was... a terrific asset, your dad, to this community. And I know it's been a tough year for you.
That's okay. It's what every family goes through in the life cycle. And we love and honor all those people who came before us in our family, not just my dad, but all the other families in Tucson who have lost parents too this year.
Supervisor, before you came over to the show, there was quite an event happening at 11 o'clock this morning. Folks may have not heard the news, but Rosa Robles Loretto, the woman who was seeking sanctuary in a church for the past 15 months, is going home to her family. She entered the sanctuary at Southside Presbyterian Church way back in August of 2014 after she was told to report to Immigration and Customs Enforcement to be deported. You and your colleagues on the board and the Tucson City Council sent resolutions to Congress, the Obama administration, and DHS on behalf of Rosa, and now Rosa has been released.
Yes, and I was over there at Southside Presbyterian a few minutes ago. It was a great event and a happy day, and Rosa was jubilant and happy, as was her family, and there were so many people and supporters there who felt very good. But Rosa was very clear that she will continue in this discussion and in this fight for putting an end to separating families here in the United States and start heading down the right track of accepting all our neighbors and friends.
So she'll be with her family now.
She was with her family, and I watched her walk outside the door of Southside Presbyterian into the light of day, into a flood of cameras and news people. But her joy and her love was expressed for her family first and foremost.
All right. We already have a call for Supervisor Elias. David wants to know why taxes and spending are up. Let's go to David, who's calling us, I think, from Marana. Hey, David, how are you?
Yeah, fine. I have the information why our taxes are spending and going up. I know you, Richard, and the other supervisors are taking all this flack from Chris and Joe for the spending and taxes in this county. I want to bring out the other side of what's wrong in Pima County. For years, if not decades, this county is run by radical pro-development people who recklessly rezone tens of thousands of acres of land for development. Eventually, these people got voted off the county board, but the rezoning stayed. In the late 90s, early 2000s, we had the biggest building boom in the history of Pima County. Tens of thousands of acres of Sonoran Desert were destroyed, straight turned into development. Now the taxpayers are on the hook for massive amounts of capital improvements. The taxpayers are on the hook for 99 miles of road widening, which was in the paper about a year ago. The taxpayers are on the hook for all kinds of capital improvements that the current county board is now having to spend money on and has no choice. But what I want to bring out is that a lot of the spending is discretionary that Chris and Joe bring out, and you and the other supervisors need to tighten the belt, be more open to the taxpayers, and trim the budget. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you're going to be voted out pro-development people and to take over this county and resume the same irresponsible activities that went on in the past.
Okay.
And right now, let me finish. Right
yeah.
now,
well, I've given
big
you,
development
I...
is grooming people to take over this county, and they're going to take over on low taxes, low spending on that platform. But once they get elected, then they're going to start recklessly rezoning land for development like
okay.
they have in the past.
Okay, David, let's let Supervisor Elias react to your comment.
Yeah, playing catch-up for the mistakes of the past is a big part of what we face. The growth boom didn't pay for itself. And so now we have huge deficiencies in our infrastructure that need to be made up for. We need to find a way to do that. Voters did not think that the bond package we presented was the correct way to do that. And so I think we need to be thoughtful and respond to that and recognize that we missed the boat. And message was received. How we go about funding those same capital needs now is what this really is all about. We could talk about political shenanigans and games all we want. I think we need to talk about what our values are, what kind of community we want, and that's a discussion that we all need to have in a very open manner.
Was this an indictment against you and the supervisors, and especially Mr. Huckleberry, the vote on the bonds?
I think it was a rejection of the package that was put together and that we voted to present to voters. And is that a bad thing? No. I think we have to listen to our voters and be careful about how we respond to that and not think that it's all about ourselves. The truth is, it's about our community. It's about the place that we live and how we get there. I think we all know that we want to have things, but we also have to be careful, and I think we reached too far. I think our package was too big, and voters rejected it because they don't want to have additional burden while they feel uncertain about their family's welfare.
790-2040. It's exactly 12:15. And Ray, before we continue on with our conversation with Supervisor Elias, talking about where we do go now after this bond election, that will be what we will entertain with the supervisor after the break. But it is time for our first break. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Governor Doug Ducey. Christian Family Care does tremendous work to positively impact foster care in Arizona. Today, there are more than 17,000 kids under the care of the state. One significant way you can contribute is through Christian Family Care's Foster Care Tax Credit. It's a simple but meaningful way to impact lives and show your support for the wonderful children and foster families throughout Arizona.
Go online today to fostercarecredit.org. That's fostercarecredit.org.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. Halloween. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition on this Veterans Day, where it is 12:20 in the afternoon on a very, very nice afternoon, warming up gradually. Tonight will be very cold. We have resisted turning the heater on. I don't know how we're going to make it. I guess we'll make it another couple nights because it's going to warm up then by the weekend to almost 80 over the weekend. But anyway, we've got a football game and a pretty big one. I smell kind of a possibility for an upset. Wildcats versus the 10th-ranked University of Utah, the Runnin' Utes. And right now, get ready, Ray, we will take the third caller at 790-2040. 790-2040, we are giving away 4 tickets to the ball game. So that's a talk about a lovely family outing for this game with Utah, which starts at 8 o'clock on Saturday evening. 790-2040, 790-2040. We will be giving away right now to the third caller a 4-pack of tickets to the Wildcat Utah game. We have Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. We're kind of talking about what went wrong on the bond. The 7 bond questions all were defeated, and defeated quite handily. In all the districts, your District 5, however, 5 of the 7 bonds did pass, didn't they, Richard?
That's correct. And the 2 that lost were economic development and tourism. So those other questions passed in District 5, but again, by small margins. And frankly, the problem with that is that we had a very low turnout in District 5. We only had, I think it was 22% was the last number that I saw. That might not have included the provisional ballots that were finally counted in the last day or so.
You know, we can do all the Monday morning quarterbacking in the world. It isn't going to change the fact. You know, you go to the polling place, you send in your ballot. The votes are in. It's said. It's done. I prefer in my life, rather than look back over these things and kind of, you know, what went wrong, where do we go from here? How do we move forward?
I think that's exactly it. We need to carefully look at what the voters told us and examine the canvas, extract some knowledge from that, and then figure out a new plan for how we meet the community needs that have built up over the last few years. It's about recapturing the confidence of voters. It's about getting in touch with people who live in our neighborhoods and work in our businesses every day and getting a better understanding of them, because obviously we were way out of whack, and we need to be strong in doing that. I don't think that means that you have some crazy metamorphosis that changes everything you think. But it might be all about how we recognize what people are thinking and how we reconnect with those voters to make sure that we find a pathway to paying for those issues that have to be settled right now in our community. Roads is a good example of that.
My friend Tim Steller with The Star had an interesting column. He said it's time perhaps for a new approach to bonding. I mean, I'm not sure how that would work.
I'm not sure either, but I think that we stretched way too far. So maybe we need to look at whether or not we should be bonding for all the jurisdictions in Pima County. That's a good question right there. That's difficult for District 5. 80% of the people that I represent live inside the city of Tucson. So there wouldn't be a lot there for him in Pima County bonds that didn't include the other jurisdictions. It's a delicate balance, and frankly, maybe incurring debt is not on the voters' mind right now. So maybe you got to come up with a pay-as-you-go kind of way of paying for infrastructure improvements as well as capital improvements that need to be made. Again, charitable donations are down. So how do you throw all those nonprofits and charities to the curb when people need them right now? People are suffering. We can't even get enough turkeys for the various Thanksgiving Day celebrations that Tucson has for people who are less fortunate.
Wow. And by the way, those turkey donations are way down this year. Historically, I don't think I've ever seen them so low for some of these organizations. And we've got Thanksgiving coming up in 2 weeks. And these nonprofits are really hurting right now.
Everybody is. Our families are hurting too. And so we have to find a pathway out of that. And all the negativity that seeps in from the national conversation and scapegoating of one type or another has to go.
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk about our values openly and what do we believe in and how we get to a point where a community coalesces around a vision of what it wants to be. I mean, I think that bond package spoke a lot about people's vision. But obviously it was one that not everybody felt we could afford.
Mm-mm.
A vast majority felt like we couldn't afford it,
yeah,
of the voters. So you have to listen. You have to be thoughtful. You have to be creative. You have to think out of the box. And most of all, you need to embrace change and embrace the challenges that are before us.
All right. Dan has been waiting to go on the air. Dan, hello, 790-2040. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, thank you. Concerning this bond issue, you know that I voted for you thinking that you told us that you were a leader. Hasn't this shown that you people are not leaders, that you can't influence the public to even improve our own neighborhood? I mean, that's not leadership.
Okay.
What we need is another election.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Dan. Dan feels it was a failure of leadership.
Well, there is going to be an election next year, so I certainly intend to run again. And, I think it was really a question, Bill, about how much people felt they could afford. I think a lot of people agreed with the needs. The question is how we go about paying for them, how we respond to that as a community. We can blame each other as leaders. We can blame each other as politicians. But I think it's about being honest and stepping up for the values that we believe in. And I intend to continue doing that.
What if you were to say there'll be no more bonding in Pima County? What would is that a possibility?
Sure it is. And that's what I was alluding
yeah.
to a minute ago when I said maybe we need to look at a pay-as-you-go approach.
Mm-hmm.
And really reduce the amount of things that we do and only take care of really strict infrastructure needs that are before us. All of that has to be decided on.
Richard Elias with us a couple more minutes with Richard, then we will let him go and be on his way on this Veterans Day. 790-2040, 790-2040. So some of the items that yesterday were on the before the board about taking vehicles home, that will continue that practice? The county?
Well, for right now, we're okay. going to review how we look at responding to what kind of verification we have for the miles that we drive on all those vehicles so that we have an idea of really where that's going and how that could look into the future.
What will be the big issue then for 2016 for the board, do you think? Kind of rethinking now the direction financially for this county?
I think we need to do that. I think that's one of the things. I think it's how do we meet the infrastructure needs that we have out there? And the other thing is getting people out to vote and getting them to participate because obviously some of those districts, people just did not turn out. Like I said, District 5, very low turnout. We need to make sure that we give people a reason to get out and vote and participate in this conversation because it's not easy. It's not going to go away. It's something that we have to face as a challenge, and we have to embrace the change that goes along with any challenge that we face.
Voter turnout overall was pretty dismal, wasn't it?
Well, in the end, with the provisionals, it went up to about 38%.
Oh, wow.
So that's not too bad in an off year. Nevertheless, it's not anywhere near even 50% of the voters that are registered.
Mm-hmm.
So next year will be a higher turnout. It's going to be a good conversation to have for all of us.
Let's see if we can work one more call in. Sean, you're with us at 790-2040. I've got about a minute.
Hey, Bill, thank you. You know, this has all been about responsibility. It's not so much giving our politicians the money, but how it's been spent and the history of how it's been spent. Mr. Elias himself, and I'm not going to quote because I don't have any of the paperwork in front of me, but he said, has said on more than one occasion that when the money's acquired, we basically can spend it as we see fit. And that is one of the big things I think was a pushback with regard to this bond vote.
I've never said that. I've never said that, sir. That's a complete mischaracterization. We absolutely try to make sure that we follow the path of what the voters have approved explicitly. And please, I would appreciate if we recognize that we try very hard to stick to that. Whether folks like that, what those projects were when they're approved, things change. I do recognize that, but that does not give us license to do whatever we want with that money. And I've never approved of that, and I've never thought that. And I'm sorry that mischaracterization is out there.
All right, Richard Elias, thank you very much for being with us, and I hope you have a great day. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, and again, thank you to all those veterans out there who have served our country.
Thanks a lot. 12:30 on Buckmaster. We'll be right back.
You know where to throw?
You can be part of the solution this Saturday, November 14th from 10 until 2. The City of Tucson Goodwill and Tucson Clean and Beautiful will offer free document shredding, e-waste collection, textile recycling, and compost demonstrations.
We'll be taking your old broken computers and all your unwanted clutter for recycling. There will be a thrift shop fashion show and delicious food and fun for the entire family.
Saturday, November 14th from 10 until 2 at El Rio Neighborhood Center. Learn more at nowheretothrow.com.
In southern Arizona, if you don't have termites yet, you will. Five Star Termite and Pest Control treats what the termites are after, your home. Don't treat the dirt, earth, ground, or soil. Foam the home. Call Five Star at 886-0045. Subterranean termites? Bad. Five Star Termite and Pest Control? Good. Soil treatments? Silly. Patented foaming treatment process? Smart. Homeowner who wants effective termite treatment? Contacts Five Star at 886-0045 and fivestartermite.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking with a Tucson writer about a fascinating new book that's titled The Other Side of Courage, The Saga of Elizabeth Blackwell, who was the first woman to graduate with a degree in medicine in this country. Robert Nortmeyer is the author. His previous novel, Magnolias Don't Cry, was a study of interracial friendship in the racially charged atmosphere of 1965 Louisiana. That book was published in 2014. Bob Nortmeyer has been in Tucson a long time. I think you said, what, the 1950s?
1952.
Wow. So you came out here as a very young man.
Thank you very much, Bill. In fact, I did. Yes, 16 years old.
Tell me about Elizabeth Blackwell and how did this first come to your attention? She's a woman certainly that deserves a lot more attention, I think, than she has. Someone who has kind of flown under the radar screen, Bob, of history.
Exactly. My attention was caught about Elizabeth from a daily calendar. And this was a page a day. Mm-hmm. And on that calendar, there were various components about that particular date. One of the components is this date in history. And I was reading it, and it said Elizabeth Blackwell had become the first woman to receive a degree in medicine. And it said in January 23 in 1849, mm-hmm. on January 11th. That was the day on the calendar. And I thought, man, this is very fascinating. She also then went on to start a hospital for the poor women and children in New York slums, which added to her, as I saw it, value to the people of not only New York, but the whole world, because she had this kind of feeling empathy towards the poor.
Well, one of the nice things about this, this is not just a history book. This is what it falls under the genre, Bob, of historical fiction. This is your first stab
right at
historical fiction. And when you went about looking at this woman's life, was there a lot of material to work with for then you to take a little bit of license in putting this thing together in the historical fiction genre?
Very little in regards to her life. The primary information that I got was from an autobiography that she had done. And she was very skimpy in the details of her life, so that didn't give me much to go on. But the elements involved in her life, I had to research, like the Blockley House in Philadelphia. I had to go in and research the Blockley House because she had made mention of it in a few instances, but it didn't cover the whole aspect of what that house was like.
How was she? She was admitted to medical school, and just that alone back in those days was unusual, to say the least.
Oh.
Unheard of.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Very unusual. In fact, she was castigated for trying to become a student in a medical school. The medical profession was totally against it. The all-male medical profession was totally against it. And she had met tons of resistance. But the amazing thing about Elizabeth Blackwell, which is, of course, a study for us and a lesson for us, is her perseverance and determination. I've never seen that in too many people. She, despite all this backlash, kept going. She finally got in to a medical school, Geneva College, up in upstate New York, a small, what they call country schools, but it had a full accredited medical school. And she got in, and that is when she started getting her work together to get that degree in medicine.
Well, she's an English, was an English woman.
Right. She was born in England, came over here in the United States with her family.
And then what was her motivation for getting into the medical profession?
Well, actually, that's interesting because she had a friend, Mary Donaldson, and Mary was dying of cancer. And she had invited Elizabeth in to visit. Elizabeth went to see her, and Elizabeth asked Mary, how are you feeling? How are you being treated? And Mary said, you know, if I had a woman doctor, I wouldn't be feeling the pain and the suffering that I'm having right now. Mary said, you know, Elizabeth, you're a smart woman. You should become a doctor. And Elizabeth said, no way. She found the human body abhorrent, and she did not want to have anything to do with
interesting.
Medicine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
she overcame that, certainly.
Well, Mary's dying words
said,
you know, you should be a doctor, kept haunting her until she finally said to herself, you know, I should try to do this, because if Mary is correct in what she sees in me, then maybe I should become a doctor. And that started a long path, 3 or 4 years of struggling just to get recognition in the medical field.
We're speaking with Robert Nortmeyer. He is the author of a fascinating new book. It's called The Other Side of Courage, The Saga of Elizabeth Blackwell. I read the book. I've lent it to several people who said the same thing. They just couldn't put the book down. Where do folks get a hold of the book, Bob?
Well,
Amazon or what?
Yeah, there's the bookstores here in town.
Mm-hmm.
This was launched on October 1st, so the bookstores in town should be carrying it now. If not, they can order it from the publisher, Bygone Era Books. Or you can get it from Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. Or you can go to BygoneEraBooks.com and get a 20% discount buying it directly from the publisher.
Elizabeth certainly was a trailblazer, and, you know, half of the medical profession right now, medical school admissions, are women.
That's right.
So those women owe a lot to Elizabeth Blackwell. During her career, Bob Nortmeyer, did she help other women get involved and get into medicine?
Yes. After she got her degree in medicine and then she got her certification, she came back to the United States and started putting together a small clinic for the poor women and children. And then from there, she started seeing that other women, including her sister and a friend, were interested in medicine, and they got involved. At that time, a college in Cincinnati was offering women a degree in medicine. So she broke that glass ceiling by being so determinant, and she got that opening for other women. And so they started slowly getting into the medical field. And then she opened up her hospital, and associated with that hospital for the women and children was a college, a medical school for women. So she just kind of compounded it on and on, helping women to get even better into the medical field.
A woman of the 19th century who actually lived into the 20th century, I believe she died in 1910.
Right.
So, yeah, and
yeah,
she went back.
89 years old.
She not only was a trailblazer in this country, she also went back occasionally and did some good work in the United Kingdom.
Yes, she went back there and helped them start a college for women. And she was responsible for having women become doctors over there. And she also got on to the United Kingdom Medical Registry, the first woman to do that, so that she could practice also in the United Kingdom.
Medicine in those days, when she was just getting into the business, it was gruesome at best. I mean, you think about some of those early operations, Bob, that went on, and anesthesiology was really in its very primitive stage.
Right.
It was a pretty, what do we say? Well, gruesome, I guess, would be the word. The operating room was not a pleasant place, was it? Yeah.
And yet she had, that didn't affect her.
Uh-huh.
And the interesting thing about that, Bill, is that when she was first asked by Mary Donaldson to consider becoming a doctor, and Elizabeth said, no, I just can't think about even getting close to working on the body, ends up in the medical field where there is, like you said, a lot of, in that period of time, gruesomeness associated with the practice of medicine.
Well, she certainly saw a lot of changes in her career, and through the Civil War, that was not really a good time to be in the medical profession, but probably a lot of lessons were learned during that period.
Exactly.
Yeah. Robert, Bob, we're going to have to run, and I want to tell people again the name of the book, The Other Side of Courage, The Saga of Elizabeth Blackwell, the first woman to earn a degree in medicine in this country. And again, Bob, if you would like to tell us where we can get a hold of the book.
Okay. You can get it in bookstores here in Tucson, or they can order it for you. Then you can go online, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or from the publisher, BygoneEraBooks.com, or you can go on to the website that is all that information there. And the website is, and I'll give the address here, www.blackwellsaga, that's all one word, .blogspot.com.
Thank you very much, Robert Nortmeyer. Congratulations. Nice job with this work. Did a great job, Bob.
Thank you, Bill. I hope a lot of people do get the book, because Elizabeth needs to be known by the public.
Good Christmas gift. All right, back after this.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques, in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Wow, Ray, the hour goes so fast, doesn't it? I mean, it's we're into our final segment already. This segment brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Silver City, experience the solitude of the Gila, the nation's first wilderness. This is a great time of year to be out in the autumn and in the woods and the forest, doing some hiking up in Silver City, that mile-high elevation. The town itself is historic. They've got great downtown galleries, restaurants, antique stores, museums. You can find out about the great places to stay, like Cottage of Whispering Canyon and Agave Ridge Retreat, and the many, many things to do just 3 hours east of Tucson. Check out the website for Silver City at southwestnewmexico.org. Well, we have an election next year. Yes, we just had an election, but folks are gearing up for 2016. It's a huge election year, of course. Everything from the President of the United States right on down to county offices like Pima County School Superintendent. And with me in studio is a candidate for that position, Democrat Dustin Williams. Mr. Williams, Dustin, how are you?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. Thank you, Bill.
The current school superintendent of Pima County, Linda Ajumanian, has been in the position. It will be coming up 16 years, I think,
next year, right? That's correct.
Yeah, and she is a Republican, and I don't know if she's indicated whether or not she's going to seek reelection. What have you heard?
Publicly, I've heard that she is not. She hasn't formed a committee as of yet, so her people have told me that she isn't, and it's an exciting time in education.
So you're an educator yourself. That's your background?
Absolutely.
Tell me about yourself.
So kind of molded myself as a coach. I did some time at the University of Arizona, got my bachelor's degree in education, and got my certification and became a certified teacher for about 5 years and had an absolute blast doing it. At that time, kind of transferred over, decided to make my move into administration and got my master's degree with Northern Arizona University, where I got my emphasis as educational leadership and principal K-12, and became an assistant principal and had an opportunity to work for a wonderful Native American high school. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of during that time that I became appointed as a precinct committee member and got excited about politics and really wanted to make my mark in education and do some changes. And and get us out of dead last for education in Arizona.
Well, this position, a lot of people, if you were to ask them, what does the Pima County School Superintendent do? I would say 99% would have no idea in the world.
You're absolutely correct.
What does the superintendent do?
So there's three functions that the superintendent's office does, and one is the administration aspects. So they'll do the finances, basically cutting the checks for the teachers, and that's all the teachers in the 17 school districts. The
really?
Publics, yes. Hmm. The other thing is they take care of the bonds and the overrides during election time.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of the position is they administer professional development. So this is the teaching for the teachers. So the superintendents will meet with myself, and we would come together and find a need for their campus that would be great for kids and great for education. And then we'd be able to provide professional development at their school.
You'd like to kind of increase the visibility, I assume, of the position.
Absolutely. And let me just go with that third part. The third I would be able to appoint people to boards, mm-hmm. but the advocacy part for what we want to do and the visibility for the position is definitely what we want to change. We want to be involved with this community. We want to be involved with these educators, and we want to, most importantly, educate the public of what's good and what's good for Arizona when it comes to education.
Dustin Williams is with us on the Buckmaster Show, and there is a call. Our friend Jim Kelly would like to speak with Dustin. Go ahead, Jim. You're with Dustin.
Thank you, Bill. Dustin, I've never met you, but one of the things that has frustrated me with education all over the state is the lack of standardization of information technologies. And I'm wondering if, as the Pima County Superintendent of Public Instruction, what could you do to reduce the labor costs and administratively and upgrade all of the information technologies of every district in the county to be standard and to be able to communicate with each other as well as with the state in a much more timely manner than they do now, particularly with the simplest of things, just filing the daily attendance reports.
Hmm. Okay, good question. Thanks, Jim.
You know, that's something that I deal with every day. I'm a teacher right now. And you're absolutely right. The bandwidth issues that are going on in the informational technology world, the computers not being able to work, the standardized testing when it comes to having the students use the computers and are the computers working. As the superintendent's office and as the position that I'm running for, Dustin Williams, Superintendent of Schools, in 2016, one thing is we do have opportunities to grant, and we do have a wonderful opportunity to work with the business community. So what I would do is get a team of interns from the University of Arizona, find some grant money that we can lend a hand to help out these schools, and then ask the business community to join and come aboard. And if we work together as a team and we really try to find the best ideas and we have some brainstorming opportunities, we get together in a room and we hash it out and find out what is best, what is the best ideas that we can come up with, I'm confident that we could solve an issue like that, absolutely.
What else is on your agenda, Dustin?
So for me right now, it's the meet and greet. Mm-hmm. I'm acting as if. I want to meet all the superintendents, and I've been meeting with H.T. Sanchez and both Superintendent Bakers from Flowing Wells and Vail, and I've got Mr. Steve Holmes coming up next. And I'm really just taking a needs assessment to find out what is it that they would like to see if I were to win the position. And that's kind of what we have on the docket for right now. I'm also meeting with some of the business community to find out what is it that they want to see. And right now, it's the advocacy part. They want to make sure that the money that's on the sidelines, the $320 million that should be paid, they want a voice in education. I want to be that voice. That money needs to come down. We need the help, and we got to get active.
All right, Dustin Williams, and people can find out more about you. Is it DustinWilliamsForEducation.com?
That's right. It's DustinWilliamsForEducation.com. Look me up. You can see my platform. Please, if you want to email me, meet with me. I'd love to meet with you. If you can donate to my campaign, it would be really special for me. And I just want to thank all the servicemen and women today, the Bill Buckmaster Radio Show, all my students and my family, and thank you for this opportunity. It's been wonderful.
And again, to clarify, there are 17 school districts that would be in the portfolio of the superintendent.
That's correct, Bill.
That's a lot of oversight that needs to be done.
And, you know, and that's something that we want to also educate the community, is to let them know what this position is doing. Mm-hmm. And I think the public has a right to know. The tax dollars are being paid for the position. And I think the public wants somebody that's going to work and work really hard for education.
Okay, I agree. Thank you, Dustin Williams. Good luck to you. We'll be talking to you, I'm sure, as the campaign gets cranked up. Thanks.
Take care. Thank you very much.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, another one of our fine local talk shows. Name of the show is For Tucson at 4. It's on from 4 to 5 in the afternoon. The host is Mike Shaw. Again, our friend Ray Allen produces that show. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8, Chris and Joe. The Daily Double with Chris DeSimone and a different guest host from 8 to 9. Then a new talk show with Sean McCluskey from 9 to 10. So that's 4 hours right there. Midday, another one with me. 5, 6 with the 4 Tucson show. That's 6 hours of daily talk right here on The Voice KVOI. I am Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of Ray Allen, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.